Dr. Hessman, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
My pleasure.
So what does play-based learning entail?
Play-based learning is really a context that allows children to play and to learn. So we, in early childhood education, we don't really distinguish between the two, because when children are playing, they are learning, and it's something they do instinctively from birth. So the play-based learning context is really the teacher providing a very rich context for playing, but also to participate when it's deemed appropriate in terms of teachable moments, and adding resources, and also facilitating inclusivity, which means making sure that all children are included in the play. In that, I mean, they might be playing on their own, but that they're participating in their own child-initiated play experiences, or they may be playing with their friends or a teacher.
So how effective is a play-based learning model in early childhood education?
It's extremely effective, and it's something that we've sort of had, I mean, I'm talking about Western Australia, but also Australia. We've had it since foundation years, and definitely up to the new millennium, but it's just in these last, particularly the last 10 years in Western Australia. I can comment in reference to this state because this is where I work, but I do hear information from across Australia that play-based learning, because it doesn't fit in with the curriculum expectations and the pressure of assessment and reporting, then we've seen a demise. And by that I mean less time, space and resources for children to participate in play-based learning.
Do you think that learning based on games and play-based learning is suitable for children over the age of 8?
Absolutely. So in Western Australia, we're looking at really the importance of play. Really, it's relevant to the lifespan. And definitely we're getting feedback from adolescents that they're actually wanting places to play in the community as well. They don't necessarily want to be told what to do in those spaces, but the fact that they've got a space to go to just to engage in play, because play is different genres and it looks different, looks differently at different ages.
So currently students in year 3 have to undergo the NAPLAN test. Do you think that these students should be exempted from NAPLAN?
Well, we've just completed some research for the State School Teachers Union of Western Australia, and we had over 600 teachers. They included principals and teachers in administration role, and they identified the key barriers to play-based learning in schools, in particularly the children aged 3 to 8, as being the pressure of the assessment. So an overcrowded curriculum, excessive assessment and inappropriate reporting. And each of those, particularly the assessment and the reporting, is not necessarily inclusive of children who might be on a different developmental pathway. So generally those tests are standardised tests, so like NAPLAN or On Entry that we have here at the start of their pre-primary. Those are standardised test, and so they favour a particular developmental pathway. So if a child is developing differently or different in terms of cultural and linguistic diversity, they may not fare well on those standardised tests. They also put a lot of pressure on teachers to teach to the test, and a high level of anxiety for the parents when the child doesn't do well in the test. And we just think that's far too much pressure to put on a young child, particularly children who are transitioning into school.
So is there an alternative assessment that could be used, or do you think that the kids shouldn't be assessed at this young age?
When people enrol in teacher education courses to get an early childhood education specialisation, there's a huge range of assessment tools that can be used. But what's mostly emphasised is that it needs to be authentic to the child and developmentally appropriate, but also that it's best to occur in what we call a naturalistic setting. So we would be observing and assessing, making documentation when we're observing the child in action, rather than sitting down you know, completing a test that's very structured and very teacher-directed.
And just finally, for parents out there, what do you think they can do to address this issue and help their child through that anxiety?
Well, I think that parents definitely need to be more empowered in this whole area of assessment. I know before NAPLAN, each state had their own assessment. So for here it was Western Australian Literacy and Numeracy Assessment, and I'm sure, you know, it was similar across the other states and territories. But it always was an opt-in. You know, schools had to get the permission of the parents for their child to be tested, and a letter went out advising them, and they had to sign off, and now it's an opt-out, as in make sure your child's at school is going to do this testing. And I think that some parents think it's compulsory when it's not, but the way that the narrative comes out from schools, it makes it sound as if somehow their child's going to miss out if they don't participate in these standardised tests.
Well, Dr. Hesterman, thank you very much for joining us on the show this morning.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.